It's interesting, it just struck me that.
In Isaiah 6, Isaiah was commissioned to go out. Right? He had a message to bring to the people. Here, it's about approaching the Lord in the holy service. And they really had to be fit to match what they were offering, because those things spoke of Christ.
Now, how do we apply that to us? That's a good point. I think that's a very good point. And from verses that we know in the New Testament, how would we apply that? One went in and one went out. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts?
We are called to be priests, and we're a dual priest, right? Yeah. We are holy priest in, this is 1 Peter 2, mm-hmm. And that's our service to the Lord, and we handle holy things, right? We handle, and what we offer, what can we bring but the beauties and the greatness connected with the person of Christ, and so it calls for a certain level of circumspect walk and character. But then we're also royal priests, and that is our service outward. And again, it's to be marked by a lifestyle that has been affected by the holiness of God. How is it that I can display the virtues of Him who has called me out of darkness into light? I must be dwelling in that light and enjoying that light in order to be a faithful servant outward. And so in 1 Peter 2, we're a dual priest in our service to the Lord, which we get being outlined there in Leviticus 21. And those defects that are listed, they have their spiritual equivalent, one might say. But the emphasis is in suitable conditions to go in to offer sacrifices of praise and worship, and in suitable conditions to go out to represent Him who has called us.
Before we go into the New Testament, I was just thinking back in Isaiah. He sees the glory of the Lord. He sees his own unworthiness. And he is cleansed. And then in verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Now he is ready to be sent. You just can't go before you get through these stages. Then it said, then I said, here am I, send me. I was thinking, in the New Testament, can we think of any, I've sort of given it away already, any characters in the New Testament, any people who have been through something like this? It may not be exactly the same, but can you think of a pretty prominent servant in the New Testament who has been through this type of process? The Apostle Paul. I think of, let's turn to Acts chapter 9. And I see some elements of this. I mean, it's not exactly every detail the same. But I see in Acts chapter 9, if you look at Acts chapter 9, here is Paul, verse 3, as he read from verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then, notice this, he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Notice his response. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm wondering, are we not seeing in here something of, he sees the glory of the Lord, and now there's a response from him. In his case, he trembles, he is astonished, and then he jumps. I mean, he sort of goes straight on, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then it goes on, then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Are there any other examples that we have? Do you see the parallel? Do you see the parallel here between how Paul went through this experience that he had, and a bit of what Isaiah went through? Do we see it or not? My thought is that before we can go on and really serve, we have to go through some experience like this. We have to see the Lord. for him, for who he is, and then bow down to him. So that was what I was thinking. He also sees, if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, he relates there, 1 Timothy chapter 1, just to sort of relate that to him, in verses 12 through 15, it's what Paul says of himself. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And this is what he says. This is how he sees himself. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Like Isaiah saying, woe is me. He sees himself for what he really is. And then there's another scripture in 1 Corinthians 15. If you look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, again, you see the same, I believe the same thought. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, it says, this is what Paul says of himself. I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me, and so on. So what I'm saying here is that I see that, like Isaiah, he sees himself for what he really is. And that was necessary before you can really go on in effective service. Thoughts, questions at this point?
Just an observation that, as with so many things in the scriptures, there are again, two ways to approach this. We can attempt to have this woe is me experience by belittling ourselves every day, and telling ourselves what worms we are and what wretches we are, and reminding ourselves of our nothingness. And those things, in comparison to the Lord himself, are very true. But if we attempt to produce this by pushing down our own selves, we will not accomplish the same result or have the same benefit as, for example, John the Baptist, who said, he must increase, but I must decrease. This, when we see ourselves in comparison to the Lord and we just magnify the Lord, we see the greatness of the Lord and we're thrilled with his glory and we're absorbed with his beauty and his perfections, by default, we see ourselves as very little and very low and we depend on him. If we just attempt to put our own selves down, then we will end up with a very different outlook. We will become very negative towards ourselves. We will feel that God certainly can't even possibly consider using me. We're not going to be available for him. We're going to tend to be very negative towards others. We're not going to be able to appreciate the grace of the Lord in our lives or the grace of the Lord in others. God desires to use us, like Tim said and like Sam said earlier. So we can attempt to do this by denigrating our own selves, or we can do this by exalting the Lord Jesus and just being absorbed with him. That will have the result of making ourselves lower, and that will be the proper way to approach this.
Just to underline what Steve said, that in each of these cases that we've looked at in Scripture, every one of them didn't set out say, I'm going to see how bad I am. Every one of them were captivated and in awe of the glory and holiness of God first. Then, as a result of that, as Steve said, the outflow of that was that they recognized their own sinfulness. If we try to turn the two around, we've got the cart before the horse, if I could say that, and we will not be effective servants. Mm-hmm. And so that's the order, just to build on what Steve said.